This episode of The Drive with Lante and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
And here we go.
There's the drive.
That is Derek's Dimes. Well done, well done.
Swing and a drive.
6'11 and a half. He's an athlete, face-up shooter.
High drive to left field.
I've been hearing that a lot.
The drive and the two.
He visited here this past weekend. Sounds like it went well.
The drive of the game.
I think if I'm Underwood, I want you to go out and I want you to take every available shot you have.
Swing and a drive, and that ball is absolutely right.
Well, here we are.
Derek Piper here. Happy to be joined by Josh Whitman and Underwood.
Lovie Smith coming in to join us.
Gee. Let's go for a little ride.
All right, it is The Drive with Tay and Piper. I'm Lante. Derek Piper to my left writing down research numbers. That's what he does every day. Trevor Valise got in here at 4:02 today, so no research done for him.
Oh, weird.
I bet you'll have your best show ever today.
Is that how Lante does it?
Yeah, you just show up and start talking. Although it looks like, as I stare down at the itinerary that Pipes put together, it does look like I'm going to have to actually think at 4:25 about the NFL. So I may have to pull up the standings just to...
You watch enough. You can just,
I do. You're right. You're right.
I've got kind of an eye. Smorgasbord of topics day.
Yeah, no guests today. Mikey Dudek, who normally shows up with us on Tuesdays. He doesn't actually show up, but he's on the phone with us. He could not do today. So no Mikey Dudek, and that is kind of okay. It's a bye week. You know, it was a bye week, and we're getting ready for Minnesota, of course, on Saturday. So we can talk a little bit about that, but a lot of stuff. We'll hear from Lovie Smith. He had his press conference yesterday. We'll hear some audio from Lovie in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to kind of break down the MLB postseason brackets. It begins tonight with the Brewers and the Nationals. I'll ask you guys, let's start there with baseball. And I know the Cardinals have named their starting pitching lineup. It is Miles in game one against Dallas Keuchel, so we'll talk about that. But, Derek, I kind of found myself today when I got home. I got home, changed, then put on what I wear every day to radio. Literally the same thing every day, shirt and pullover.
Uniform.
It really is. It's my uniform to come. And I do wash this, just so you guys know.
I can either confirm or deny.
Okay. I alternate shirts underneath the pullover. I wash the pullover once a week with my sheets, in which I wash every Sunday. So there you go. That people know way too much about me now. So the question is, I got home, grabbed a sandwich, and I sat down, and I'm like, I've got to record this Brewers game tonight. I don't know why I can't just watch it. I don't know why I need to record it. But I found myself kind of excited about watching the Nationals Brewers tonight and getting baseball going.
Yeah, absolutely. You're already trying to fill that lull in between Monday and Thursday for football. And then when the Cincinnati Bengals and Steelers are on last night, I'm like, man, I wish I had a postseason baseball game to watch instead of this, because I didn't tune into much of it. I don't think I missed anything.
It was
so
ugly.
Yeah, no doubt. Really excited. Hopefully, I think anybody else that has a stake in this, particularly in the NL, is hoping that the Brewers can get it done, because they don't want to see this, you know, the Nationals in a five-game series.
I'll tell you what would be interesting, the Nationals and Dodgers. That would be a fun little best of five for sure. Now, Trevor, I want to ask you this, because you've now gone 4 years in a row with postseason baseball action, not this year with the Cubbies not making it, but I remember when the Cardinals went on that run, and certainly every year I would take postseason baseball. Don't get me wrong. I would take that over not having it. But I remember the very first year that the Cardinals weren't in the playoffs, it was almost like my stress level went down from like 180 to 80. Like I was actually able to watch postseason baseball and just enjoy it and not get nervous and worry about my team. So, Trevor, have you, as a Cubs fan, being in this four straight years and now not in it, had you suffered enough stress-wise to where now you're just kind of going to enjoy a postseason off, or are you still mad that they didn't make it?
I would say initial reaction would be, I would think the first postseason I wouldn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
And then if for some reason they miss it again next year, I'll be like, all right, that's fine. Like the NCAA tournament, I've kind of gotten used to Illinois not being in
it. Right, right.
The year afterwards, it was weird. But then the year after that, it was like, well, you know, I don't have them to cloud my bracket judgment, and I can just watch all the games. And then, like, three more years go by, and I'm like, okay, come on, let's go back.
It's a good call. And I'll tell you what's interesting. And I listen, I'll say this. Cubs fans, my friends that are Cubs fans know this. I don't like the Cubs. I do not like them. I never will like them. I could care less, or couldn't care less, whatever the right grammar is on that, that they had gone 108 years without winning a title. I hoped my entire life they never would have won a title. So that being said, Derek, at least when the Cardinals weren't in it and the Cubs were, I had somebody to kind of root against. Although I will say this with full transparency, when it got down to Game 7.
Oh, you don't have to say it.
I'm saying you don't have to say it. When it got down to Game 7 and Raji hits that home run for the Indians, I literally felt bad for the Cubs. And I thought, this is not fair. This is no longer fair. They need to win a World Series. This is getting ridiculous. So at that point, I don't know that I was actually rooting for the Cubs to win the World Series.
No, you just got soft.
I did. I got soft. I totally got soft. But I did. At that point, once they got to Game 7, I was like, all right, just let them win it. Get it over with. Then let's don't see him again anymore, right? That's kind of what I hoped, but obviously they've been a perennial power here for the last 3-4 years. So at least you had somebody, and I want to ask Trevor here in a minute, at least you had somebody to root against, right, instead of rooting for.
Right, no doubt. You still have rooting interests, but now you're at a point where you're sick of the Dodgers. You can't find yourself rooting for the Dodgers.
No.
You don't want to see the Yankees. The Astros are a fun team to watch, but it's just boring. It's boring.
They are. They're so good.
So now it's to the point where you want your team back in it. And I got tired of flipping on October and a game at Wrigley Field, and the Cardinals are not part of this. So
I would agree. Listen, we're just out of spite, Trevor, so don't get mad at us.
That's fine. I'd say the same thing in reverse.
So. Okay, are you rooting against the Cardinals then come Thursday?
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not sitting there with like some vitriol because the Cardinals beat up on the Cubs, and credit to them for doing so.
Okay.
So I'm not sitting there going like, man, I hope Atlanta wins 10-0 and someone gets hurt. Like, I don't care about that. But I'm not going to be sad if they lose by any means.
Yeah. You're not thinking about Yachty going after Hamels and just that vengeance.
It's ridiculous.
That was kind of ridiculous. Let's be honest.
I mean, he did.
It even hit him.
He chicken winged into the pitch.
But, yeah, he did.
Yachty did say after the game he was trying to get his guys fired up.
Right.
So at least he admitted that he wasn't actually like super PO'd at Hamels.
I'm guessing he and Cole had a funny laugh about it.
That was one of just confusion.
It was.
I'm sitting there watching him like, why?
Yeah,
like,
what's up?
Calm down, everybody. Like, and Cole got mad right back at him.
He
I'm
did.
Like, guys, calm down. I'm like, chill out.
Well, and Cole's like that's like the wounded dog, right? I mean,
well,
you've got a wounded dog.
That may have been his last hurrah. I mean, who knows?
Yeah, so he's
injured, and I don't think the Cubs are going to re-sign him for any reason. So
he's sitting there going, what are you doing, Yachty? Why are you doing this, right? So I could understand why Cole would be upset.
I do have 10% rooting interest in the Cardinals for the sake of fun short shows.
That's true.
So a little bit of my allegiance is on the Cardinals for that sake.
Although the no-shows are killing us,
yeah,
man.
That's the worst.
They're killing our bank accounts, right? With these no shows, which, by the way, we will not be on the air Thursday or Friday with our show. Cardinals will be playing the Braves, what, a 4:07, I believe, start on, no, 4:02 on Thursday, 3:37 on Friday. I did get fooled today, though, setting my DVR. I always plan ahead sometimes, and I went to Thursday afternoon, and it says NLDS Game 1, TBA versus Dodgers. And I was like, nope. Wait a minute. And that was the 4:00 game. And I'm like, uh-oh. So I got on my phone, got on the internet. It is still Cardinals at 4:02. So the Cardinals are still that game at 4:02. Nothing has been switched around. And let's be honest, they want the Dodgers, the West Coast. They want LA. And it's all about money.
They always put the one seed in the prime time.
Yeah, they want the prime time. They want the bigger audience.
Well, if LA was the 3:30 game, I mean, they'd catch hell from the LA fans. It'd be a noon game
on a work day.
Yeah.
It would be bad. But again, you know, that's when market size matters, right? I mean, New York's one, LA's two, Chicago's three, Houston's four. Those teams are going to be in prime time. That's just how it works.
I'd still rather watch Cardinals Braves than if it's Brewers Dodgers, though.
I would too.
But maybe that's just because of my local interest. I don't know.
Yeah, I think
Cardinals Braves in the afternoon, though, just kind of seems right.
It does.
On Turner, no less.
Yeah, Turner.
You know,
kind of does a little bit. All right, Derek. Miles Michaelis will go game one, not Dakota Hudson.
Yeah.
Miles Michaelis, the veteran.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much of a veteran he is. In the Japanese league, he's a veteran.
Sure.
He's thrown in Major League Baseball.
I should look up his postseason numbers for Japan.
Well, let's see what he's got, right?
Right.
So you've got him going against Dallas Keuchel. It's interesting. My buddy already texted me today and said, Cardinals will get four hits against a soft throwing lefty like Keuchel. And I said, right. And it's the same guy you could have had for $13 million. Now you got to face him in game one. But that aside, What do you think of Miles going game one and not Dakota? Is this Mike Schilt saying, I want to trust a guy that is at least more of a veteran, maybe not postseason, but at least a guy that has been around the block a little bit more than Dakota?
Yeah, I guess so. That's probably his reasoning behind it. I would still like to see Hudson personally. I just have more faith in him. Michaelis has only won two of his starts since the start of August. And I know he's pitched better down the stretch and maybe didn't get the run support a little bit is right. He's still only 9-14 on the year.
Right.
But it's kind of interesting that both teams are kind of going with their number three or number four to start out. Mike Soroka is really the Braves number one. They're going to pitch him game three. It's odd because his road ERA is like 1.55 and his home ERA is like 4.
Yeah.
So that's a different trade-off there. I do like the idea, though, if you're able to somehow either squeeze it out game one with Michaelis or win game two with Flaherty and you come home where Waino's good, where Hudson can pitch a little more comfortably, mm-hmm. maybe it sets up a favorable back end if you can kind of get past that game one. But I don't like the idea of Michaelis against that lineup on the road. It just seems like you're asking for a bad start.
Yeah, because he's not going
to
walk anybody, right? I mean, so Atlanta's going to go up knowing they're going to get pitches to hit. Now, he will try to fool you, and he will try to get you off balance and hitting out in front of the ball, et cetera. That's his strength, but it does worry you. It's funny you said that about Soroka. Best road ERA in baseball. So they're going to play that hand, and as you mentioned, start him game three. One more thing, and then we'll get Trevor involved. One more thing for you, Derek. If this series is 1-1 going back to St. Louis, do you start Dakota or do you start Waino? In my mind, you start Dakota.
Yeah.
Because now the pressure is not solely on him to have to get a win. I don't know why I'm babying Dakota Hudson here. I just know he's a rookie. And then almost if you're down 2-1 going into game four with Waino, I'm more comfortable, even though Dakota's the better pitcher, I'm more comfortable knowing that Waino has definitely been in this spot before and could handle that. So I think if you're down 0-2, if you lose the first two in Atlanta, I start Waino game three. If you split, I'm going Dakota game three and I'm going Waino four.
Yeah, I like Dakota game three. I mean, he's 16-7. I'm not going to baby. I'm just going to ride it because you have to. With him and Flaherty at the top, those are your number one and number two. I know Waino has, with the exception of the last start against the Cubs, been really, really good at home. But that was maybe his worst start of the year.
Mm.
Well, I guess the road. I could look at the road splits or the road game log and find something different. But, I want to trust those guys. You have to at this point. That's who got you here.
Right.
And those young guns are going to be what you got to ride with.
We're overthinking this, aren't we, Trevor?
Why?
It's what you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, Hudson's a ground ball pitcher, right?
Yes.
And I think the Braves, I don't know this for sure, but they're a pretty low batting average team. I know mm-hmm. they get a lot of home runs like most teams do, but I would push him up from game four.
Okay.
If that's what they're going to do. I don't know. Michaelis has a 2.61 ERA lifetime against the Braves. That's from Mark Saxon.
Well, there you go.
I don't know how many times he's faced them. Probably, I'm guessing, three.
How often do those numbers matter?
They don't.
You wonder, right? You wonder. You sit there and you think, okay.
I really don't think they do much, especially in the postseason.
Okay.
I do wonder, though, if these numbers matter. Keuchel is going to make his 10th start in the postseason.
Mm.
And Michaelis, obviously,
that may
not
matter, yeah. I think it does. I think Dallas Keuchel's the guy that will have an easy breath when he goes out to the mound, right? Instead of maybe your heart pounding a little bit and you're like, oh no. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how the Cardinals kind of line up that lineup against a lefty. I assume early on you'll have Edmund. Does Carpenter play?
No.
You don't think he does, but if Colton Wong, we don't know if he's healthy.
Well, yeah, you're assuming, if you assume that Colton Wong is going to play, then you don't play Carpenter.
Okay.
He was okay the last, like, 10 games of the year, but before that, obviously, Carpenter was kind of lost.
No, right. Yeah, he's kind of gotten a little bit, I don't want to say hot, but he kind of has picked it up. And, of course, Colton Wong, a guy that is suffering basically from the same injury that is it in, how do you say the kid's name for the Atlanta that's not going to play in the first series? Their normal center fielder.
Ender Inciarte?
Yeah, that's Inciarte. Inciarte is not on the roster, so he's not going to play. That's a break for the Cardinals. He's basically suffering the same thing that Colton has, although Colton said Sunday, he said, I'm good to go Thursday. I think I'm good to go. So if he's good to go, do you still stick him down in the lineup, Derek, knowing you're facing a lefty? Or, listen, Colton Wong was maybe your MVP for about 2 months at the end of that season. Do you go ahead and bat him up top with Edmund and roll with it?
He's hitting, what, 280-plus
mm-hmm.
on the year? I'd probably err on the side of putting him lower in the lineup just until we see what he's got as far as in a rhythm. I'm throwing Edmund at the top of the order and Fowler as well. Fowler's actually, the Cardinals lineup has been in its best spot when Fowler's leading off.
I agree.
I'd be worried about the Braves offense. I'm not saying you guys are.
Yes.
But they have four guys who have an above four war in Donaldson, Acuna, Freeman, and Albies.
Mm. It'll be interesting because Acuna, speaking of injuries, is coming off. He missed the last week of the season with a hip injury.
And Freeman's got the issue with his elbow. He's had some issues with his elbow, and he's been really not very good the last 10 to 15 days.
Donaldson has a hip contusion.
Well, there you go.
It says it's unclear if he will suit up against the Cardinals in game one.
Oh, wow. Donaldson has been unreal for Atlanta this year. He has been everything they hoped when they paid him that money. And, of course, the Cardinals were a team that were kind of hot on getting
Josh Daniels. I always wanted him so bad.
I did, too. Now you got to face him. But it'll be interesting to see Freddie Freeman because he's battling, I can't remember, his bone spurs, I think, in his right elbow. And, of course, he's a lefty, so that right elbow is out in front.
He'll really play. He's
going to play.
He's like Rizzo, you know.
He's going to play, but I just wonder how much does it affect his power.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of the home run to right, does it fall at the warning track? You know, one of those kind of things.
I'm jealous of the Braves lineup because they've got everything you want.
Mm.
Acuna's got the pop and the speed at the top. Then you have Albies who has the speed and Donaldson and Freeman who have the pop. Freeman has the average in case Donaldson's pop isn't good enough with the average. Like, they have everything to complement itself.
They do. They totally do. As a person that maybe just follows the Cubs or follows the Cardinals and you know a little bit about other teams, by game five, if you go to five games in this, by game five, you know everything about that Braves team and you hate them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like hockey. When you get to a series in hockey, you might not know all the Boston Bruins, but by game four, you hate every one of them.
One more thing to point out is they did add Billy Hamilton halfway through the season, and he will be on the playoff roster as that random speed weapon.
And to add even more to that, Hamilton, 24 for 27 in stolen bases versus Yachty. It's the one guy Yachty has really struggled with.
I mean,
you can't blame him.
He's literally the fastest guy in baseball history, according to stats. So.
And I'll tell you what, that's what'll be fun to see what the Cardinals do with their bench. They've got till Thursday to pick
this.
Would
you consider a Rosarena at all?
Yes, for that reason.
Yeah, exactly.
For that reason, I would absolutely consider him. I would even consider maybe putting Fowler in center and sitting Bader against maybe a righty, but you almost have to play Bader, don't you, against Keuchel?
Bader just against anybody right now has been pretty brutal. I know he had a home run on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, he's hitting under 200 on the month, I think.
So that'll be interesting to see. If Wong can't go, why can't I think of his name anymore? Not
Edmund?
No. The backup, like, he can play any position, basically.
Munoz.
I don't know why all of a sudden I cannot think of his name.
Miguel Cairo, is that
right? Miguel Cairo, I said the other day. I about said Marcelo Zuna a minute ago. Is Munoz a guy that maybe gets a start at third if Wong can't go? Do you go Edmund at second, Munoz at third?
Against the lefty?
Would you like
Munoz over Carp?
I don't know. I don't know. That's, you know, I guess maybe at that point you go with a veteran in Carp and you know what he can do, right? But Munoz is a guy who has not been good lately. I mean, how do you say his name?
Rosarena.
Rosarena's numbers compared to Munoz the last month and a half, it's not even close. I mean, the slash line is all in favor of Rosarena. But Munoz is one of those guys where he can all of a sudden go 3-for-4 in a game, and wouldn't that be so Cardinal? To get three out of four out of Munoz, you know, out of the six hole. And you're like, really? Really? That guy went 3-for-4?
The Braves have Johan Camargo, who's basically been the same thing for them.
Yeah.
He doesn't play every day, but he randomly goes 3-for-4 every 5 days.
Always interesting to have a guy named after my hometown.
Camargo?
Camargo, Illinois. Yeah. And so when I first saw him, I'm like, well, I kind of have to root for the guy. Now I got to hate him. Now I got to hate him in this entire show.
You got to hate him like you hate Javi Lopez.
Exactly.
I don't think the Braves are, now you'll find reason to hate them by the end of the series, especially if they win, but they don't strike me as like a hateable team or anything.
I agree.
You know, I mean, the Pirates were certainly upset with Acuna because he wore jewelry, but I don't know. The Braves don't really, you know, their rotation is just a bunch of nice looking white guys.
Yeah, right.
It's like Mike, and Mike.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So, like, you know, I don't know. Nothing about that team strikes me as they're these fierce, you know.
You mean kind of like,
lineup's fun.
Kind of like Greg,
fun to watch.
Tom.
Yeah, yeah.
John. Steve, back in the day.
Yeah, well, I told you there was that one game where the Cardinals' entire infield was named Matt. That was fun.
Right.
For some reason, I forget the circumstance. For some reason, Matt Holliday came in to play first, I think. And around the diamond at some point, or maybe he came in to play third. At some point, you had Matt, Carpenter, Matt Adams, and Matt Holliday at first, third, and second at some point. It was like, really?
That's right, baby. That's exactly right. Well, listen, that thing gets going Thursday. We'll talk more about it as we go along. I know we're efforting an Atlanta Braves guy to talk about the Braves. We'll effort that for tomorrow to see if we can make that happen.
Skip Carey?
Skip Carey would be great, man. Skip Carey. Loved growing up listening to him. You know, Harry Carey was awesome to listen to, right? It's just, unfortunately, he was with the Cubs. After all those years with the Cardinals, mm-hmm. then he's with the Cubbies. But, man, he was fun to listen to. And then Skip was very good. And, of course, Chip had some pretty good years with the Cubbies.
Yeah, Chip.
I don't. He's okay. Well, but, like, really, you're going third generation legacy guy here. Like, he's fine, but yeah. Does he really deserve the job he has right now? Like, I'm sorry, but...
What I meant is they had pretty good teams.
Yeah.
When he was there. They had the prior Woods.
He's fine. Teams. I just, yeah. You know.
I'm with
Don't you. Try and tell me that the only reason he has that job is because of his family.
Exactly. All right. Last thing on baseball, and then we're going to move on to a break here. Do you start? I asked this yesterday. Brandon Woodruff starting tonight for the Brewers. Do you still start Scherzer if you're the Nationals? I guess you have to, don't you?
You have to.
You have to?
Yeah. I mean... This Brewers lineup, I know that we've gone down the names plenty in the last week or so. Somehow they've been able to put it together.
Yeah.
And just, I've said it yesterday, the misfortunes that Washington has had, how regretful you'd be if you didn't throw your number one guy trying to project it out to a series against the Dodgers. I know that you're going to then wish you had him at the front end, but too many bad things have happened in the Nationals to not throw Scherzer.
You're
that's
right.
Fair.
That's exactly right.
If you look at these lineups, though, I could make the argument that the Nats have the advantage in every single lineup position.
Mm.
Trent Grisham versus Trey Turner.
Right.
I mean, come on. Why is Trent Grisham starting a playoff game? Yasmani Grandal versus Anthony Rendon. Now,
well,
I know Grandal's good,
right?
But
yeah,
Rendon is better than Grandal. Moustakas or Adam Eaton. Probably close.
Yeah, that's close. That one's
pretty
close.
I'm just going in batting order and opposition.
Okay.
Keston Hira or Juan Soto. Juan Soto's been amazingly mm-hmm. good. Howie Kendrick or Ryan Braun. You could make the argument that Ryan Braun's better than Howie Kendrick. Eric Thames or Kurt Suzuki. Whatever. They both suck. Lorenzo Cain or Asdrubal Cabrera. Whatever. They both suck.
Okay.
Orlando Arcia and Victor Robles. Robles has been way better than Arcia. I mean, that's a lineup.
That's interesting. I don't know. I almost wish you just had the guts to say I'm not. This is what I wish they would do. Is Gonzalez still starting pitcher for the Nationals, Gio?
Yeah.
No,
he's on the Brewers.
Not Gio. Who's their third guy?
Anibal.
That's right.
Sanchez.
Okay. So
they have Corbin.
That's right, and they have Corbin. I almost wish they just had the guts to say, you know what, we're going Corbin game one. And guess what, LA? We're coming at you with Scherzer and Strasburg in one.
They
and two.
Should.
I think it'd be awesome.
If I'm a Brewers fan and I'm going, okay, Grisham, Hira, Orlando Arcia, and Kane against Scherzer, that's like 18 automatic outs.
See, you kids are finally jumping on my bandwagon here. That's exactly what I would do, but Derek, you said it right. Too many weird things have happened.
Oh, yeah, you're right. If the Nationals somehow got complacent despite their postseason history and lost this game, there'd be hell to pay.
After the 1 year where they decided to shut down Strasburg going into the postseason when he was really, really good.
Uh-huh.
But
just don't do the Flaherty and throw him seven innings. If you get a big lead, take him out. Maybe plan on pitching him game two.
Heck yeah.
And that's true. That is a good point because you could then throw him game two. Even on short rest, I would trust a guy like Scherzer.
I'd put the emphasis on getting up 4-0 in the first two innings.
And then getting him out.
If I were the Nats.
I tell you, it'd be fun, though.
Same thing with the Cardinals, I think, because the Cardinals' bullpen is way better than the Braves' bullpen.
True.
If you're talking about a mismatch, I think that's the biggest one you've got, because the Braves' bullpen has been awful all year.
Who's the kid they brought over from the Giants who's been
around
forever?
Mark Melanson. He hasn't been good. They traded for Shane Green from Detroit. He's been worse.
He has
a 450 ERA with the Braves. I think if there's one advantage, if the Cardinals are up, I don't know, 4-1, 4-0 going into the fifth or sixth, I feel really good about my prospects.
And I think like
Clay. I don't even trust Cardinals bullpen that much after the last week or two.
And Clay said it yesterday, I think Genesis Cabrera makes this roster because he's a lefty.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Braves against right-handed pitching, the stats are incredible how good they are. So you want to load down with as many lefties, and I think Trevor Miller, Tyler Webb, and Genesis Cabrera gives you three guys from that left side, including Cabrera being able to throw the ball almost 98, 99 miles an hour from the left side. So, you know, that's I don't know if I trust Trevor Miller, to be honest with you, but
Who's Trevor Miller?
Gosh dang it, why do I always
He hasn't earned the right. His September ERA is over 8.
Yeah.
Improve that. Well, you can't improve it now. It's October.
But, boy, yeah. postseason numbers, though.
That's true.
Andrew Miller. Why do I always say Trevor Miller?
You're looking at me when you say it.
That's what it is. Worse. Maybe that's what it is.
Just by the way, I have it all piped up whenever we want to go with postseason stats. I don't really, because it's so freaking stupid how they clear your stats for the postseason.
Oh.
I hate that. It's so dumb. And every round, they re-clear them again.
Well, if you're Carp, you're loving it.
I think that is so massively stupid.
That's how we get Daniel Murphy hitting 650.
No doubt.
At the end of a season, like you talk about Daniel Murphy's stat line, you say, well, regular season stat line, postseason stat line. It's just his stat line.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate this delineation. It's so stupid.
That sounded like Harry. You just sounded like Harry right there. It's just his stat line. All right, listen, when we come back, what we know after week four of the NFL season, we're going to talk about some of the better teams, the biggest surprises, maybe some of the bigger disappointments. We'll do Drive Time at 5:05, Lovie Smith Audio next hour, and at some point we want to try to get to the NCAA versus the law. I like this because I think Pipes is ready to talk about this on the fair pay to play. I'm going to be honest with you. I have stayed completely as far away from that as possible, not for any reason. I just have not had a chance to really read about it, so I'm anxious to hear that. Talk some NFL, though, when we come back. You can always follow us on Twitter. Just search at The Drive 93.5.
Our podcasts are also on all platforms. That's iTunes, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can also go to tayandpiper.podbean.com. You can stream us live at espncu.com. Or watch us live on YouTube. Just search Tame Piper or The Drive 93.5.
This episode of The Drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, movers who care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.
You know, if you're looking for a great steak or you want some fall-off-the-bone ribs, you got to make the trip to Gifford to check out Long Branch Steakhouse. Donnie and Hunter, well, they came in and brought ribs to us on the radio show the other day, and now I'm making plans to get back to Gifford to enjoy another slab, along with some homemade sides, homemade dressing for the salad, and, of course, ice-cold beer. They've got reasonable prices. It's a short drive away to the Long Branch Steakhouse on Main Street in downtown Gifford. Go check it out. Promise you won't be disappointed.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-687-5192. An ESPN Radio Extra Point with Mike Golic, Trey Wingo, and Mike Golic Jr.
This bill basically says big-time college programs that make big-time money, if you are a student that is employed there through scholarship, you can, if you can find a market for yourself, make money.
Nancy Skinner, who was the senator in California who first proposed this bill, essentially said, I wanted to prod the NCAA into taking more national action. I want this to be something for everybody, but the NCAA has clearly shown it needs a push or else it's not going to do anything.
Kids will get money. Under the table, they'll get more money. This is for the top guys, the blue chip men and women. But for the other sports, they can make some money. We went to Notre Dame. The Notre Dame women's basketball team, they're fantastic.
Yep.
Right? They would have the ability to go out and do some appearances and make some money.
Hear more from Golic and Wingo tomorrow morning on ESPN Radio.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835 with our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC and a four-wheel independent suspension. It's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
It's time for another My Journey with Mettler.
Megan Parsons from Savoy, Illinois, and I work in human resources at the Lemon Company in Arcola. So I have had back problems over half of my life, and I've been to physical therapy a variety of times. What I would say was different about Mettler is the therapy was one-on-one in a private room, private setting. So just focusing on getting me to a point that I could manage my own pain, work on strength.
Start your journey with Mettler Center. Visit MettlerCenter.com today.
All right, it's The Drive. I'm Lante, Derek Piper, Trevor Valise here as well. Austin Berkland was in here. He asked me a question and then left the room. So none of us know what he's going to ask. He said, Lon, in your TV days, and then he just left the room.
Yeah, the drama.
So now we have like 15 minutes before we can find out what he wants to ask. So it's really starting. I wish he'd pop in the other room and just ask it so we wouldn't have to wait that long, but he's not around. So, all right, what we know after week four of the NFL season, it is time to chat with a little, not with, but about the National Football League. I'm going to help moderate this thing or moderate it, but I am going to help as we go along.
I like the idea of what we know. Are we going team by team or?
Well, we could go team by team.
I don't really know much about a lot of teams, though.
I mean, we could brush through each division and I could kind of throw out a name and you guys could give a quick segment about them. But, sure. I mean, there's going to be a couple like Miami. You just say they suck.
Yeah, well, that's
fine.
Yeah,
we do know that. That's what we know.
We do know that for
sure. 25%, well, those that didn't have a bye week, if you played four games, it's 25% of your season.
Yeah, so.
Right, quarter way.
Let's start in the AFC then. Let's do this.
Okay.
And really, one of the things Derek wanted to talk about is the top five teams, and we can kind of pick those as we go along. Well, one team that is the number one team in the NFL, in my mind, is the Patriots. 4-0, 122 points they've scored, and they've given up only 27. So they're dominant on offense. They're dominant on defense.
So that's almost a 100-point differential already.
Yes, already. And I know that they've played their schedule hasn't been the toughest, but it's New England, and they get the benefit of the doubt of any team in the NFL in terms of knowing that they are good.
Here's the thing. I don't think their schedule is going to get tough.
I don't think it is either.
Like, the problem is they're 4-0, and here's their next four games. Redskins, Giants, Jets, Browns.
How does that happen?
Like, wow.
Is this just the biggest conspiracy in the world, and we just haven't caught on?
Well, it's because their cross is the NFC East.
Yeah, well,
that
helps.
Playing the Redskins and the Giants.
Well, are they the best team in football right now?
Yeah, you have to say that.
Yeah.
Their defense is right up there, I think, with the Bears. And I might still lean towards the Bears because the Bears have played some better offenses as far as Green Bay. And I guess you'd still count Minnesota. Maybe you're not because Kirk Cousins nowadays. But, yeah, New England did struggle offensively, though, against Buffalo. Maybe that says more about Buffalo's defense, but Brady had one of his worst games in the past decade.
Mm.
And they also haven't run the football that well.
No.
I know Sony Michel was someone that a lot of people liked going into the year because that's a team that wants to lean on the run, especially now that they don't have Gronk and they had Antonio Brown for 5 minutes.
But amazing? Like, I started thinking of New England running backs in the past. Kevin Falk.
Yeah. They have Corey Dillon.
Yeah, they did
Bengals
for
a year.
They did for a year.
Yeah, and it just keeps going. LeGarrette Blount for a year.
I mean, it's a
they
team.
Never sign a running back to a second contract.
No, but look, they're ahead of the curve on that because look what's happening right now with the running back market.
I'm telling you, it is incredible.
I will say that I would be concerned, not necessarily concerned, but it didn't really seem like they had a deep threat, especially if Edelman is banged up, and he's not really a deep threat anyways.
Yeah.
So losing Antonio Brown amongst the hoopla of it, they do kind of lose that deep threat receiver.
Do you remember the show X-Files?
Yeah.
I feel like at the end of my life, I want somebody to do an X-Files on the Patriots. and figure out why they are so good. Why? There's not one wide receiver you remember, minus Randy Moss and who was 84 for them? Troy Vincent, whatever, forever. Was that his name?
Troy Brown?
Troy, maybe that was it. And, I mean, now they're tied in. Gronk was great. And really, running back-wise, I can't name many guys. And defensive guys, and Ty Law. Guys,
right, like Will Fork comes to mind.
Ty Law back in the
Willie
day.
Willie McGinnis
was good.
Gilmore. Brewski.
Yeah.
Rodney Harrison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true.
But still.
Early days for Brady, they had a legit defense. Yeah. And then after that.
But every year.
Oh, it's Deion Branch is the wide receiver.
Deion Branch, that's who I'm thinking of.
So they have a three-game stretch at Eagles versus Cowboys versus Chiefs.
Okay.
That's a huge three-game stretch. But then right after that,
and
they go back.
And two of them are at home.
Yeah. Then right after that, they go back to Bengals, Bills, Dolphins, Bills. They basically have three hard games this entire season, and they're all in a row, and two out of three of them are at home.
I don't get
it. They're going to be 8-0.
I don't get it. I want somebody to look into the NFL.
One more quick note on that division, though. The Bills have the third best record in the AFC.
Do they really?
Yeah,
three and one. Okay. Bills have only scored 76 points, but they've only given up 63. They're 1-1 at home. They're already 2-0 on the road. So
now they were the Jets and the Giants on the road. So
I think the Bills are
and they beat the Bengals at home.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think they're more legit than they have been in a while.
Their next three games are Titans, Dolphins, Redskins.
Oh, wow.
I mean,
they just need Josh Allen back because Matt Barkley's not carrying you anywhere.
Is everybody playing the Redskins in the next 2 weeks?
Well, we're in the AFC East, and they're who plays the Redskins. So right now, yes.
Jets and Dolphins. Jets are 0-3. Dolphins 0-4. Let's move on. Speaking of the Dolphins, by the way, they've given up 163 points. They've scored 26. Wow. All right, AFC West. Chiefs are 4-0.
So they have a minus...
Whatever,
163.37.
I was like, wow, Derek, math skills. Have fun in Miami, Tua.
143. Oh, they're minus 143.
Wow.
Right? Yeah. All right, Chiefs 4-0. Raiders 2-2. Chargers 2-2. Broncos 0-4. I didn't expect a lot out of the Broncos. They gave the Bears, of course, everything you could give. Broncos have played close games.
They're one of my bigger surprises, though, in a disappointing way.
In a disappointing
way. Simply because we're sitting here. And I think the numbers after this past week, did they get an interception?
Efforting. I knew exactly where you're going.
After 3 weeks, they had zero sacks, zero interceptions, zero fumbles gained, and zero fumbles forced. And for Fangio, which that's what he makes his bud and bread or with. Bread and
that's
butter.
That's what it's turned out to be. Bud and brother.
Right. Bud and brother.
No takeaways.
That's crazy.
They still don't have
one. You got defense with Bradley Chubb. I know now he's out.
He's
Vaughn Miller
year, right?
And Fangio running it, and you have zero takeaways after four games?
Yeah.
Man, wow, that's brutal.
Denver loves their Broncos, too. I bet that town is going
And all the four games have been close.
Yeah, they have.
It's just, man, that's, I don't know.
They're a field goal away from being 1-3.
Chubb's out for the year.
Yep. Yeah. He's gone for the year. Chargers 2-2, that's a little bit of a disappointment, isn't it?
Yeah, they haven't had Gordon. Hunter Henry's out again with an injury.
I
don't know.
What week does Antonio Gates come back?
Austin Eckler, though, has been just as good as Gordon will be, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Gordon is the better running back. I mean, you go with him. He starts, right? But Austin Eckler's put up huge points for them.
Yeah.
And not just fantasy. I know the way I said that, it's fantasy-wise.
I'm surprised the Raiders are 2-2.
Yeah, and they're 2-2. I mean, I think that's a little bit of a surprise on the bonus point. Raiders, though, have scored 79, given up 102, and they're yet 2-2. So that's a little bit of a mirage there.
Big win on the road, though, against the Colts last week. I know that was a banged-up team.
Well, right. But. And remember, I was all in on that.
Yeah, that's right.
Colts by
T.Y.
seven.
Hilton being out.
That didn't help.
Darius Leonard on defense.
Yeah,
that was.
That hurt.
That hurt for them.
And Jack Doyle, their tight end, went out after Burfict took his head off.
AFC North, don't look now, but the Browns are in first at 2-2. Ravens 2-2. Steelers 1-3. Bengals 0-4. Let me say this. My entire life, the Steelers have been good. My entire life. From Terry Bradshaw, Mean Joe Green, flipping uniforms to a little kid for a Coke. I mean, all the way back to that day, the Steelers have been the best team in football in my mind in terms of franchise. Here they are, 1-3. They're bad. They looked horrible last night, and yet they're only a game out of first in this division, and somehow they will end up winning this NFC North. I can almost bet you, even with a backup quarterback, Mason Rudolph, they come back to win this. Browns 2-2, though.
We need to make money because we're going to have off shows with the Cardinals, so I'll take that bet if you really want to offer that.
No, I don't want to.
I will say that four of their next five are at home.
Okay.
Ravens, Colts, Rams, Browns, Dolphins.
Well, that's not an easy stretch minus the Dolphins.
No, but four out of five are at home.
Okay.
And the one road game is in London. So technically they don't have a road game until like November.
Okay.
The Steelers do.
And the London game is this coming week, I think, right?
Well, that's the Bears this week.
Oh, that's right. And that's my fault.
It's Chargers, Steelers in London the following week.
Okay. Browns 2-2, Ravens 2-2. I mean, Lamar, everybody was on him and you should be, but I still think the Browns could win this division, but get this. The Browns have scored 89 points. They've given up 91. This offense has been really frustrating.
Their offensive line's not very good.
No.
Nope.
And
I don't like the Browns, and I've said it.
Maybe we learned that Baltimore's defense isn't as good as they're supposed to be because they've given up over 100.
True.
Or given up 100 already.
The concern for the Ravens, if you're looking at them, is when you go, okay, they looked really good to start, but then they played the Dolphins and the Cardinals, right?
Right.
And so then they play, who have they played the last 2 weeks?
They played the Chiefs.
The Chiefs and the Browns, and you lose those games. So then it's like, okay, well, is there an adjustment to the fact that they just beat up on bad teams?
Right. There's not one team in this, there's only one team in this division that has a positive point differential, and that's the Ravens. 135 to 100 makes sense. All right, AFC South. It is exactly even all the way through. The
really?
Texans, Colts, Jaguars, Titans, all 2-2. And get this. Here's the points for, right? 78, 94, 84, 91. Points against 78, 102, 84, 62. So that's a little bit more discrepancy.
So two of the four teams are at zero?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The Texans, 78, 78. Jaguars, 84, 84. And the Colts have scored 94. Titans have scored 91.
I don't know what to make of that.
I don't
either.
Texans
are super disappointing, is what I would say.
Texans are disappointing. The Titans keep, like, they just blew out a decent Falcons team on the road.
Yeah.
You go, what the heck was that?
And week one, they crushed Cleveland.
But then they'll lose to the Dolphins this year or something. Like, they're just weird.
It is weird.
I don't trust them. The Jaguars are good on defense if Jalen Ramsey isn't pouting.
Right.
Yeah. Gardner Minshew's looked great, but
still,
say Ramsey gets traded and Minshew comes back down from his magic, I don't trust them.
Okay.
The Colts have Brissett and who?
Yeah.
Marlon Mack.
Marlon Mack.
And a good offensive line.
Yeah, T.Y. is still good, but
I don't know. That's a gross division. The Texans should be running away with that.
The Colts can't be better than 8-8.
I agree. No.
Which 8-8, 9-7 probably wins the division.
We're going to take a break, come back with the NFC. Is that cool?
Yep.
There's an undefeated team in the NFC West, and you're like, what? In fact, they're the only undefeated team, is this right?
Yeah.
In the NFC. We'll start with them when we return. It's The Drive.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
For expert service guaranteed, call 866-EXPERTS.
That number could save you up to 30% on your energy bills. When you call today, Chief Bauer Service Experts can hook you up with a furnace tune-up. Right now, save $61 on a furnace tune-up. Chief Bauer Service Experts, your hometown Champaign-Urbana tune-up pros.
Call 866-EXPERTS.
Website for license details.
Hello, this is Shane Coulter of Country Arbor's Nursery. This Monday, September 30th, is the beginning of what Champaign-Urbana has been waiting for all year, the Country Arbor's annual Fall Sale and Kids Day. The sale goes from Monday the 30th to Sunday, October 6th. Every shrub, tree, and perennial is on sale, all at least 20% off. While the sale's for the adults, Saturday, October 5th is for the kids. We'll have a giant slide, fall decorating, Russ and his amazing turtles, and all of our equipment out for kids to play on and take pictures. So come out for our sale all week, and Kids Day is October 5th. You can find out more information and directions at countryarbors.com.
Dieting is difficult. Hot yoga is hard. Spin class is tough with a tough instructor. But you know what's easy? Taking the exact vitamins and supplements that are just right for you. So don't take someone else's vitamins. You don't need to, because there's GNC for you. Personalized daily packs filled with the industry's best vitamins and supplements delivered to your door each month. And it all starts with a simple quiz. Look, the journey may be hard, but this part, it's easy. Go to GNCforYou.com. Take the free quiz.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lon Tay and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
It's the drive, and we're rolling through the NFL. It's what we know after week four of the NFL season. We just went through the AFC. Now let's focus on the NFC, and we'll start in the West. The only undefeated team in the NFC is the San Francisco 49ers. Let me go through this division. Niners 3-0, Seahawks 3-1, Rams 3-1, my Cardinals 0-3-1. Everybody in that division has a positive except for the Arizona Cardinals. So I think you've got three legit teams there with the Niners, Seahawks, Rams. Are the Niners the best team in that division at 3-0?
Fake good.
I agree. I think they're better, and yeah, I think Garoppolo better. Makes them at least a team that could sniff. There'll be that team in week 14 where you see all the teams that still have a chance in the playoffs. They're the one over to the bottom right. They're like
still
7-6.
Yeah,
they're like, well, the Niners could still do it if they blah, 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 blah.
In the hunt.
They're in the hunt.
Yeah. There you go.
But I think I still would go Rams to win that division.
How about this? They've won 31-17, 41-17, and 24, and they gave up a field goal at the very end, so it could have been 24-17.
Wow.
You have 17 points in each game.
And that's the Niners.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Their schedule improves a lot, though. Browns, Rams, Panthers, Seahawks. Is a tough stretch coming up.
That's not easy.
Yeah, they benefited from two pick sixes by Winston in week one.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy G went through for 166 yards in that game. Then he had one touchdown and two picks against Pittsburgh. They beat the Steelers without Big Ben by four. I know they lit up the Bengals in Cincinnati, yeah. But I just don't.
I'm with you.
Not feeling them that good. I don't.
You're fair.
I'm not feeling the Rams.
You're not?
No.
Okay.
How could you?
The
Bucs just scored a franchise record 55 on them.
Bad.
Their defense is bad. Goff, I got a stat for you. You know I like stats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last seven games for Goff, seven touchdowns, eight picks.
Ooh.
Four turnovers against the Bucs.
That's stinky.
And he threw 70 times.
70 times. This is the new NFL.
Goodness gracious.
When the quarterback, again, will become the number one pick in the NFL, in your fantasy picks.
Buccaneers right. Plus 11 was,
yeah.
Talk about value.
Yeah. So you guys have Seahawks winning it. I'll still take Rams to win it.
I don't know. I don't love the Seahawks either. I don't think they run the ball that well.
Who
I thought Chris Carson's going to be a lot better. I'm still erring on the side of the Rams, but okay. I just knocked the crap out of Jared Goff.
All right. Does Arizona win a game?
They should.
Yeah, for sure.
I would hope.
What's funny is they were right in those first two games.
They were.
And then you lose to Kyle Allen by almost 20, and that's kind of gross.
Yeah, that is bad. NFC South, Saints 3-1, Buccaneers 2-2, Panthers 2-2, and the Falcons are 1-3.
Big disappointment in the Falcons, personally, because I picked them to win the division.
Yeah, Saints are 3-1, by the way, and have a negative differential. 84 points for, and I know this is Breeze, out. 92 points against. So they're in first place at 3-1 in that division with a negative points differential. Interesting there. Buccaneers 123-4, 117 against. Panthers, they have 95-80. And of course the Falcons at 1-3. Can the Falcons still win that division?
No. I don't think so. Their defense is very good. Their offensive line's terrible. Matt Ryan is underperformed. I think the Bucs, even though at 2-2, are one of my bigger surprises in the league. They really should be 3-1 if the kicker makes a 30-some yard field goal.
That's fair.
And they've shut down some good running backs. Even before Saquon got hurt, he wasn't doing that much against them. McCaffrey, they shut him down when they won at Carolina.
Yep. And Bruce Arians.
Gurley did nothing against them.
Bruce Arians is a pretty good coach.
The Bucs will be the other team that you see in the hunt.
Yes.
At 7-6.
Yes. We still think Saints won it, though, right? I'm not. Let's go NFC East real quick. Cowboys 3-1. Eagles, Giants both 2-2. Redskins 0-4. Giants and Redskins, don't even talk about them. Eagles 2-2. Can they overtake the Cowboys to win that division?
Yeah, they can.
They can.
Now that they're getting healthier. I think their offense showed what they can do against Green Bay.
Yeah.
The cap on this still feels like 10-6 to me for whoever wins.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I think the Cowboys, they play a decent Saints team, and again, they just Yeah, you know, they kind of crap the bed, and it's like
10 points.
You know, I mean, how can we really trust them? Because they just do this every year. Someone said that was the first game after Kellen Moore took over as offensive coordinator. It looked like Jason Garrett called that game,
and
it's just like I truly think that he is going to hold them back from ever being 14-2 run the table type good.
He's amazing that he keeps a job right every year. But by the way,
Marvin Lewis.
Yeah, he is. The 107 point differential, 107-4, 56 against for the Cowboys. Giants, they're a little bit better with Daniel Jones. We'll finish with the NFC North. Packers, Bears, both 3-1. Lions, 2-1-1. Thank you. Vikings, 2-2. Let's see. Every team in this division has a positive points differential. Packers, 85-69. Bears, 66-45. Lions 97-95, Vikings 84-63.
Toughest division in football?
I think this is the only division you can look at right now and say everyone's still in it except for the AFC South, because technically everyone's still in it. But I think this is the one you look at where you go, yeah, all these teams could win it.
Yeah.
I don't think the Lions are going to win it by any means, but they've looked good.
I'm trying to think here. I can't believe in the Lions. I just can't do it.
I don't know, man. Kerryon Johnson looked good for them. Their defense looked really good.
Stafford.
You've got Belichick's guy coaching them.
I want to see 1 year of Stafford out of Detroit.
Yeah.
I want to see him.
I'd take him in Chicago.
Yeah. Or how about with the Chargers?
Okay.
I mean, I know they're not getting rid of Rivers, but can the Bears win that? Will the Bears win this division?
Huge win against the Vikings. They're now right in the thick of it. I don't know what to make of the Packers, because for 3 weeks, Rodgers doesn't look that great. Uh-uh. I didn't really doubted him too much, but that defense looked a little flawed against the Eagles, maybe a little hyped up.
He looked really good.
I like the Bears again. I like what they did on Sunday.
Okay.
Missing six
I like
starters.
Chase Daniel.
Yeah,
and that too. And you know what? I could see him coming back, though, and looking bad this next week.
Yeah.
Who do they play?
Oakland in London.
Well, Oakland looked good, right? But I don't – listen, it's a whole other ball of wax when you're going against the Bears. All right, we're going to do a little drive time. We're going to pick our postseason. We're going to give our guesses to who's going to win the World Series. We'll do that next hour. We'll close the show with some Lovie Smith audio. A lot to do next hour. Stay with us. It's The Drive.
This episode of The Drive with Lonte and Derek Piper is brought to you by Two Men in a Truck, Movers Who Care. Visit them online at twomenchampagne.com for a free estimate.